This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Joining you here on this Monday, April 29th. I'm happy to be here with you. Hope you're good. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. Hope you had a great start to your week. I'm going to be rolling with you for the next 2 hours. This is a four-hour show. We get started here every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We've talked about the NFL draft, talked about some NBA action. We talked about some switch-ups and some changes. NFL Today, the pregame show, CBS, yeah, Boomer Esiason out, Phil Simms out, J.J. Watt in, Matt Ryan in. Phoenix Suns, they're out, swept, done. No more playoffs from them. Minnesota Timberwolves got them the hell up on out of here. Talk about the Suns in a minute. Speaking of in, we discussed Ezekiel Elliott being back in with the Dallas Cowboys. And how about this? Today we learned that Travis Kelce, he is still going to be in with the Kansas City Chiefs. Got himself a new contract that'll last him until 2027. Man, the winners keep on winning. Thank you so much to Michigan State Spartan Malik Spencer for joining us in the last break as we took a look at the NFL draft from the weekend. Said, hey, you know what, why don't we bring in a prospect for next season? Oh, yeah, head of the game, jumping the gun. Why not? Thank you so much, Malik, for coming through. And to talk more about the NFL draft and who did a great job, who did a poor job, what we can look forward to this upcoming season, my main man, Emery Hunt, is going to join us from CBS Sports HQ. So we'll have a conversation with him in about 20 minutes from now. Before I get into how terrible and awful the Phoenix Suns are and how they've been and how the hell they may not look good into the future, let's talk about the man who did get a contract extension. It is going to look good for him into the future. It is Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce. This man signed a new contract extension. Tacked on 2 more years to his current deal that will ensure he will be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs through at least 2027. 2 years, $34 million. This now makes him the highest paid tight end in the game, a little more than 17 per. It's Travis Kelce. And of course, where else did we get the announcement and the word and the fanciness from? No one other than Travis Kelce himself, because the Chiefs posted on their social media too, and nobody gets as hyped as Travis Kelce. Take a listen to this.
Back at it again, baby. Woo! I just see a little Super Bowl right there, man. Feels good to be in KC. I remember coming here 12 years ago, man. It's an honor and a pleasure, and I can't wait to get after it these next 2 years, but no better than right now. Getting fired up for this year. Just got out on the field with the boys. Doggone, we're back at it, baby. Chiefs forever.
Yeah, he's going to be 35 years old this upcoming season. He's going to be 35 years old this upcoming season. He's going to be playing until 2027. By the time this is done, this guy's going to be about 38 years old. Hickey, that's... I think he'll still go. They will probably have his replacement at that time. He's not going to be pass catching option number one, but he ain't no bum. So I think he'll age gracefully. This is not like Gronk, who was always in and out. Travis Kelce, all things considered, he's been ridiculously durable throughout the course of his career.
He has been. He's been healthy. Now, I would say he lost a step and slowed down a little bit this year. And, I mean, I don't think he's going to get better with age going forward. But if it's only a slight dip going forward, you got to feel pretty good if you're the Chiefs that it's not just, like, for nostalgia or keeping the gang together and not having Travis Kelce play for another team. But you got to feel pretty good that for the most part of now this extension, you'll still get pretty good play from Travis Kelce.
Yeah, this past season only finished with 984 yards and 5 touchdowns. A little low on the totem pole for him the season before, more than 1,300 yards to go along with 12 TDs. He played in every game. He missed 2 games from this past season. I would assume his numbers will stay the same. He's going to be, you know, at or around 1,000 yards and give or take 5 to 10 touchdowns, I think, next season. And at least now with Xavier Worthy, they have somebody else to throw the ball to and spread things out. And for Travis Kelce, this news is so big that his contract extension wasn't just NFL news, okay? People magazine picked up the news about Kelce's new 2-year extension. This is where he is, and this is what happens when you're dating Taylor Swift. Even People magazine gets in on the action. So the Kansas City Chiefs not slowing down, not going anywhere. And when you think about a legendary player in the organization like Kelce, he might go down as the top tight end ever. When you think about his longevity, his accolades, the stats, the numbers, the championships, do we think that they're done? I don't think so. Would I be shocked if the Chiefs picked up at least one more Super Bowl victory, you know, over the next 3 years? Hell no. No, I wouldn't. So he has a chance to go down as the best of the best of the best. Congratulations, Travis Kelce. 2-year contract extension that takes him through 2027. Is now making $17 million per year, the highest paid tight end in the game. So everybody with the Chiefs is getting that bread. You know, just last week it was the GM and Coach Reed, the president, everybody got a contract extension. And come on now, let the dust settle. Maybe one more season. Wait until Patrick Mahomes gets his extension. And no rush on that guy. More money than anybody in the NFL. Especially when you think about what's committed. 10 years, 450 mil. He'll get his day where things get adjusted. Good contract stuff for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I got to tell you about bad contract stuff. Terrible, awful contract stuff. Before we talk to Emery Hunt and get back to football, the Phoenix Suns, those contracts, garbage, trash, basura, they are in hell. The Phoenix Suns just got swept by the young Minnesota Timberwolves. Season done, over. And so the Phoenix Suns, the team that featured Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal, got swept in the first round of the playoffs. And why is this a disaster? Because how the hell would you expect anything to be different going into the future? By the time Kevin Durant comes back next season, sure, he's still one of the best offensive players in the league, he's going to be 36 years old. He's had a history of foot and ankle and leg problems, and yes, he was able to play 75 games this year. He's not as explosive as he used to be. He can still go out there and score with the best of them. But he's older, man. He's had leg troubles. What are you going to expect from him going forward? Devin Booker, still one of the best two guards in the league. Bradley Beal has been injured. Actually, he's been pretty hurt and bad for Washington for the past several seasons. And none of these guys are point guard. And so, of course, after they are swept, we get all of the normal words. Kevin Durant wasn't comfortable in the offense. Neither Devin Booker or Bradley Beal were comfortable running the show as point guards. And then, of course, now everyone wants to blame Frank Vogel. How about you blame Matt Ishbia? Because Matt Ishbia wanted to make this big splash. Brand new owner of the Suns. First thing he does is say, let's bring in Durant. Oh, yeah, let's bring in Bradley Beal, who's 30 years old, has had a history of injuries, and Bradley Beal just crapped the bed on the way out of the postseason. Bradley Beal sat around and said, I've never been swept. I'll be damned if I get swept. Well, they lost yesterday, 122-116. You want to know what Bradley Beal did in a deciding finishing game, last game of the season? 9 points, 4 of 13 from the field, 1 of 5 from deep. This is the guy who was saying that, we weren't gonna get swept. Crap. And you want to know something? They're stuck with this man because Bradley Beal has a no trade clause in his contract. Okay, he is under contract until 2027, the 2026-2027 season. He has a player option where he's owed almost $60 million for what? To be 4 years older and be worse? Kevin Durant is about to be 36. Booker is still 27, but it doesn't look like he can be a leader on a team. He can put up all the points and shots in the world. Doesn't look like he's going to be the best player on a championship squad. And it looks like the Suns had their best chance when they were in the finals a couple of seasons ago against the Bucks. Chris Paul is gone, Durant is in, Bradley Beal is in, and they're stuck with aging players, guys who have been hurt, dealing with injuries, and by the way, to acquire these guys, the Phoenix Suns don't have no draft picks staring them in the face. They're cooked, but somehow, some way, after the game last night, they were full of spin. Kevin Durant, he says, next year, we can get better, we can do better. Listen to this.
We could be better. In all areas. It's hard to pinpoint just one thing right now. I mean, when you reflect back on the season, I think that, like I've been saying, we just were inconsistent with our play and the style of play that we wanted. But that's as far as I'll go.
Oh, that's as far as he'll go? Well, I know Kevin Durant, and if things aren't going his way, I mean, typically he will leave. Okay, we saw him leave Oklahoma City. God bless him. Free agent. Do what you want, right? We saw him go to Golden State. We saw Kevin Durant leave Golden State. We saw Kevin Durant go to Brooklyn. And I can't blame him because Kyrie Irving, he was a whole lot more talkative than he is now. And also, you got to think about Harden. Kevin Durant wanted to leave. And then they kept him there. And then he wanted to leave. And then they finally let him go. And now he's in Phoenix. Am I supposed to believe that a 36-year-old future Hall of Famer who's had a propensity of waking up and saying, hey, it's time for me to go, the Phoenix Suns, their best bet, if they, A, want to fill out a roster and maybe get something in return, they better hope Kevin Durant is angry and that they can dump him. But at the same time, at this stage of his career at 36, what are you trading for and what are you getting back? The Phoenix Suns appear screwed. And everybody always wants to get rid of the head coach, right? Frank Vogel just got there. Frank Vogel is in the first year of his contract. It's going to be difficult to get rid of him, or it's going to be a tough pill to swallow. Hey, Frank, head coach, how does it feel to get swept with these superstars?
There's no worse professional feeling in the world than getting swept in NBA playoffs. I've never been a part of it. I feel pretty low right now. I want to speak to our fans directly and say, I share your passion. I'm as disappointed as y'all are. Okay, I share that with you all. But we got beat by a better team.
Oh, man, damn. We got beat by a better team. At one point in time, at the end of the game, Bradley Beal was being subbed out of the game. Head coach Vogel tried to give him a high five, and Bradley Beal kind of just brushed him off. It seems good, right? And you feel the pain of the fans? Don't ever say that. The fans are paying your salary. I think they feel a little bit different. Well, thank you for that one, Frank. How does it feel to get swept? Well, how the hell are y'all going to fix this, Frank? Like, these guys are getting older. What you think about that?
We put this team together with the mindset that we have a 3 to 5 year window, that every year we're going to have a chance to, we have a team that has the firepower to compete for it.
How? Old, busted up, broken down players, max contracts, can't trade one. Bad contracts, injury prone, no depth. How the hell are you going to round out this roster? Like, who's the fourth best player on the team? Nurkic? Grayson Allen? Like, what are we doing here? Man, everybody wants to get hyped about big threes. This big three didn't work. It tanked. And it can't work because they can't put anybody around this squad. This is a bad case of the Phoenix Suns owner, Matt Ishbia, basically ending up with a brand new toy and then running it into the ground too fast. Trying to make too big of a splash. I thought that they'd be more competitive. I was wrong. I thought at least this would be a team that could make it to a Western Finals, and the only problem that would be in their way was depth. Well, it is. They lacked all of it. All of it. And then Bradley Beal, he ain't ready for Showtime. Yeah, Bradley Beal, he's not ready for nothing. Played all of 53 games. Has a no-trade clause. Cost you a million picks. So these Suns can't even suck for a season and end up with a high pick because it end up in Washington somewhere. The Suns are screwed. They better hope Kevin Durant wakes up and says, move me. But then if they move Durant, who the hell would want him? Well, who the hell would want to give up a prize pick for him? The Suns need depth. And the Suns, they look screwed. Matt, it should be a fix it. Throwing money at this won't make it feel better. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. And when we come back on the other side, speaking of futures, we're going to talk to Emery Hunt. This man covers all things college football, NFL football for CBS Sports HQ, football game plan. He knows the ins and outs of the game. We're going to ask him about the draft because these are teams, they've tried to build themselves up for the future. Emery Hunt is here with us on the other side to talk the draft. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients, unfrosted stars, Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Friday, May 3rd, Unfrosted Stars, only on Netflix.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Oh, yeah, we're talking to everybody, coast to coast. Right before we went to break, we talked about these Phoenix Suns. The future is looking bleak. Somebody got to go. You can't have Booker and Durant and Beal, and they each come with their own challenges. It's tough. We do know the NFL draft was this past weekend, and we got a bunch of teams trying to build up their futures. And some just kind of look like they're running in place. To talk about it, joining us on the line right now, this is an analyst for CBS Sports HQ, creator, founder of a football game plan. He covers football from high school to college to the pros and everything in between. It's my main man, Emery Hunt. Emery, how are you, man?
What's up, DR, man? How you doing, man?
I'm great. Good to have you here. Busy weekend for you, huh? Keeping up with all the picks?
Yeah, a little bit. Light work, you know what I'm saying? Day two and three, I was all over HQ. But, yeah, it's been nonstop, man. Once, you know, drafts season starts, let's say really at the combine, it's nonstop all day, every day.
So before we get into what surprised you, I think let's talk about what surprised most folks. What are your thoughts on what took place with Michael Penix joining the Atlanta Falcons?
It's funny because a lot of people had Penix or a quarterback tagged to Atlanta all throughout the pre-draft process up until they signed Kirk Cousins to that monstrous deal, which they shouldn't have done anyway because he's a 36-year-old quarterback coming off of an injury, an Achilles injury at that. He never was really mobile anyway, so it didn't make sense to rush to give him that money because he tore his Achilles 9 weeks after Aaron Rodgers tore his. So for me, it's like drafting Penix makes a lot of sense because Penix may actually start the season, if we're being completely honest.
Uh-oh. You think he's going to be out there game one, week one?
Listen, we don't know what Kirk Cousins looked like dropping back. We saw him do a little minor exercise, but we know once live bullets start flying, and now he has the added pressure of having to perform because he has a first-round talent behind him in Michael Penix, and everyone wants to see Penix play. The last time they saw Penix play was in the postseason, so they didn't know he could play really well. And last time we saw Kirk Cousins play was playing mediocre ball for the Minnesota Vikings. So he has the pressure of the situation and the pressure of trying to come back from an injury that, you know, it does take a little bit getting back to in terms of at that position, no less. So, yeah, I could definitely see a pathway for Penix to start the season.
Now, Emory Hunt is here with us from CBS Sports HQ. What's the next biggest storyline? What else took place over the weekend that caught your attention? Is it a player? Is it a team? Somebody's behavior? What caught your attention?
Well, it was going into the draft, it was the over-under of offensive players taken in the first round was set at 21.5. And they shattered that by 23 players, I think, taken offensively in round one, which just blows my mind. And even more so that the first defensive player was a pass rusher that wasn't taken until pick 15. So that just, again, just like, wow, usually you hear quarterbacks, pass rushers, offensive linemen, you know, offensive tackles specifically go high in the draft regardless of year. But this year we saw 14 straight offensive players go and the first defensive player taken at pick 15. That just blew my mind. That was one of the bigger storylines of the entire weekend.
When you think about teams that won, who walked away as a better squad based on what they did in the draft?
I thought Washington did, getting the franchise quarterback in Jaden Daniels, but also stockpiling talent around him. Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State, the tight end, very good player. She hit the ground running. I also thought Arizona did a really good job throughout the draft getting good football players. Seems like a lot of teams took the model that Detroit has laid out, like, hey, man, don't worry about the combine. Don't worry about all these junior Olympic tests. Just get good football players and you're going to be fine. And I think teams like Washington, Arizona, Pittsburgh, just building on the line of scrimmage, I thought those three teams, outside of like Chicago as well, because of the nature of what they did with two top 10 picks, stood out the most.
And teams that failed, Emory, what say you?
Well, it's hard to really fail because optimism is truly high right now. But if I'm thinking about a team that just really didn't do as much, I felt like Tennessee could have used we saw the Falcons take a quarterback. I felt like Tennessee could have been in line for a quarterback. But I thought they did a solid job on the back end. And Minnesota, to me, because they took J.J. McCarthy in the top 10. And again, I've said this before, even with what we have seen and currently know from Brock Purdy, you are not taking Brock Purdy in the top 10 in no NFL draft, even with all the information that we got about Brock Purdy. Unless you have elite-level talent across the board on both sides of the ball to where he can just be a piece of the puzzle, and now you're putting J.J. McCarthy to no fault of his own in a situation where you're asking him to be Tom Brady, and we know that's not the case. We know that's not his skill set. So right now, and if we're keeping it a buck, they have the fourth best quarterback in that division. Caleb Williams, Jared Goff, and also Jordan Love are all better today than J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. They better hope that he can develop into something much better than Sam Darnold. Emory Hunt is here with us, covers football for CBS Sports HQ. We had two signings today. Ezekiel Elliott back to the Dallas Cowboys, jumping into the time machine a little bit, and then also Travis Kelce. He got a two-year extension. Both of these guys are getting older. Hey, how much more do you think Travis Kelce has left in the tank now going through, what, I believe, 2027? And for the Cowboys, it seems like they just running in place, no?
Well, I'll start with the Cowboys first. I felt like they shouldn't have let go Zeke last year. And what was missed by a lot of people is the fact that Zeke was more than just an on-field presence. He was a big factor in that locker room. And we saw what happened toward the back end of that season. They just kind of fell apart a little bit. They didn't really have that one person that they can lean on to galvanize. And in terms of the run game, he was the pace setter. Yeah, he wasn't as explosive or as fast as he was as a rookie or earlier in his career, but he was someone that defenses had to respect. They lost that when they let him go because no one respected Pollard's ability to run the ball. Pollard was best as a compliment, and he didn't have that guy that could set the pace for him. So that's why that run game just struggled. Now, on the other side, Kelce, to me, probably has about 2 years left, and you saw the Chiefs do a great job of getting a guy that's very, you know, Travis Kelce-like, and Jared Wiley out of TCU, a fantastic tight end. He's a flex tight end. He was my number one flex tight end, which is like a big body wide receiver, and that's what he is. He's great after the catch, so he's going to get great mentorship, and they're going to give him a nice little two-year runway to become the guy, and that way you can see Kelce ride off into the sunset.
Emory Hunt is here with us, CBS Sports HQ. You know, a team that I think also did an excellent job of improving is the Philadelphia Eagles, man. You think about the defensive backs that they were able to pick up. Would you be shocked if they had a bounce back this season?
Not at all, because they improved defensively. We know the defense was the major problem for them last season. They couldn't really get stops in key parts of the game. They couldn't get pressure on the quarterback. They couldn't turn the ball over. They were very old, it seemed like, at cornerback. And to your point, they got two of the top 10 corners in the draft class. And that's an influx of talent on the back end. But also, they improved the third element of the game, special teams, because Cooper DeJean, excellent punt returner and a guy with the ball in his hands. Will Shipley can return kickoffs. Anaya Smith, the receiver slash running back out of Texas A&M, another one that can return kicks. So their special teams improved. Their defense got better. So overall, this team should be significantly better in 2024.
Yeah, Emory, there's another team I want to ask about. Seems like they might be kind of running in place just a little bit. And they've struggled in the postseason. That's the Buffalo Bills. We know Diggs is now out. They've had some of their own cornerbacks, although maybe a little older and hurt, kind of go Tre'Davious White and Poyer as well. And there's really no excitement. I mean, the Chiefs get a wide receiver in Xavier Worthy running a 4-2. They bring on a great quote, and he's pretty awesome, and we hope that he can bring the same thing he had in Tallahassee up to Buffalo and Keon Coleman. What do you think about the Buffalo Bills? It doesn't seem like they've gotten all that much better to try to, you know, win the AFC.
Well, Coleman I have a high grade on. I was a big fan of his game coming out of Florida State. He has that dog mentality. Reminds me a lot of what the Steelers have in George Pickens, a guy that is, hey, you know what I'm saying? You may question whether he's the fastest or the more explosive, but one thing you can't question is his heart and his ability to catch the football. Everything else is going to fall in line because he has those two requirements that are needed to be successful, number one. And also, I like the Ray Davis selection, a running back out of Kentucky. Now you pair him up with another good back already in tow in James Cook. And we saw Buffalo sort of lean into their run game last year, which kind of helped them close out some games. And that was the issue the years previous, where they couldn't really run the ball. They didn't really run the ball. And we saw that change last season. They were able to close out some games and become a significant factor. I think that's going to be even more so this year. And we're going to see them kind of rein Josh Allen in a little bit, like they did last season, going to allow him to take those shot plays. But that run game, I think, is going to be prominent once again in Buffalo.
Do you think the Buffalo Bills, have they done enough, though, to punch the Chiefs back in the mouth?
I mean, it's not the Chiefs. They're going to have to worry about the entire AFC North. They're going to have to worry about the AFC South with Houston and Indianapolis. And then also you have to worry about the Chiefs. So you got to worry about the Dolphins. The entire AFC is a gauntlet week in, week out. So, I mean, it's not can they beat the Chiefs. It's, man, can they beat all those other teams in the AFC? That's going to be the biggest question.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well for them at all. Last question for you, Emery. We know that we're going to have a lot more roster shakeups and guys getting cut and injuries, and it's impossible to predict. But as we start moving through OTAs and rookie camps and moving into July and preseason, what teams do you think have set themselves up to have some damn good season later this year?
It's weird to say this about a rookie starting quarterback, but both Washington and Chicago could potentially be playoff teams in the NFC. We know the NFC is weaker than the AFC, but, man, Chicago has a lot of talent. And this is the part I want people to understand. Justin Fields led Chicago to 7 wins last year and the 9th overall pick. The first pick came from Carolina. So the Bears were on the cusp last year. They just didn't have enough firepower on offense, and now they got that. Defense got better, and Caleb Williams is going to help them improve a little bit. You know, he's going to do what Justin Fields was doing toward the back end of the season. So they should at least win 9 or 10 games this year. Washington significantly improved. New coaching staff is in. Dan Quinn's defensive-minded head coach. They improved a lot defensively via free agency. We'll see how that all plays together, fits in. But adding a Jaden Daniels changes the map offensively and how teams are going to play them. They have some talent at receiver. He aids the run game with his ability and that threat to take off, which opens things up even more so in the passing game. I think their offensive line was improved as well. This is a team that could end up with a playoff spot. Look for Chicago and Washington to, you know, fight for that 6th or 7th spot in the postseason and surprise some people this year with rookie quarterbacks.
Wow. I mean, listen, I think both fan bases would love it if they got a little bit of the taste of what the Texans were able to do this past season. Emery Hunt, thank you so much for joining us here on the JR Sport Reach Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Where can people follow you on CBS Sports HQ, Football Game Plan? Where can we keep up with you?
Follow me on Twitter at FBall Game Plan, and be sure to pick up your copy of Football Game Plan's 2024 Draft Guide, the largest draft guide in existence, over 900 individual scouting reports. The reason why I'm bringing this up post-draft, because we've seen so many undrafted free agents get signed, and we will see more undrafted free agents get signed as we approach rookie minicamp. We have scout reports on these guys that you may not have heard of, may not know about. We got a full scout report on these guys, so it's still a valuable asset to pick up the draft guide. You can find that at footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide.
Emery, always a pleasure, my man. We'll talk to you down the line and catch you soon, brother, okay?
Appreciate you, JR. Always a pleasure, man.
No problem. Certainly is that Emery Hunt from CBS Sports HQ. You also heard him talk about Football Game Plan. He really knows football from beginning to end. It played as well. He's a wealth of information. Thank you again to Emery Hunt. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. The phone lines are open, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I'm going to tell you about some familiar names that ended up being drafted. Some didn't get drafted. Some of them have famous dads. I'm going to tell you some of those names on the other side of the break. I'm going to get to some of your calls. And then, yeah, we might have had Travis Kelce get himself a new contract. We got a legend in basketball who decided to retire. She decided to retire.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Emery Hunt for joining us in the last break from Football Game Plan. And also CBS Sports HQ covers all things football, high school to college to the pros. And if you're a fan of the Washington Commanders or the Bears, he says don't be surprised if they take steps to get into the postseason this upcoming season. And yeah, that'd be like the Texans part two. Let's see what happens. I don't think that'll be the case, but hey, Emery knows more football than me. Let's see if he turns out to be right. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I want you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm going to get to your calls, and then I have to discuss with you someone who just recently retired. She retired. Let's go ahead and hit the phone lines. Let's go to Birmingham, Alabama, and let's hear from Chris. Hey, Chris, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. What's up?
What's good, JR? How you doing, man?
Amazing. Please.
Oh, Lordy. First, I want to talk about those Birmingham Stallions. You said people don't really, aren't really that many UFL fans. Man, look here. Come next week, you might want to tune in to those Stallions versus the Battle Hawks. But that game's going to be, the storylines alone, that game's going to be money. Okay? But second, I want to call it is because I want to talk about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, his issue is this. At some point, dude, you got to stop. You got to stop being so offensively focused. You're going to have to finally help up your defensive game because I'm pretty sure at some point you're not going to be able to coast off of just, especially getting up in age, off your offensive game. Because if you actually want to win a championship of your own merit, not riding off a big three coattails, you're going to have to either bear down.
Well, I got to disagree with that, Chris, because ultimately Kevin Durant, and yes, he's getting older. Nobody's getting younger. He's going to be 36 years old in a couple of months by the time next season starts. Mm-hmm. He is an underrated defender, and he is a willing defender. He is someone who's almost 7 feet tall. He's almost 7 feet tall. He's long as hell. He will go out there and contest shots. He puts his arm. Hey, Chris, stop and listen, please. Thank you. I let you talk. Let me respond before you keep going on and on and on. I disagree. Okay. First, this is a couple of points. There's nothing wrong with Kevin Durant as an aging defender. He goes out there and he plays defense. Second of all, if you want to take a look at the Phoenix Suns, they are not failing as a team because Kevin Durant is not playing defense. They're failing as a team because they don't have depth and they put too many of the carts or too many of their eggs in the cart of a Bradley Beal who was wholly unnecessary, someone who was injured, someone who's also getting older. He has a history of not playing in games. Like, that's where the issue is. It's not about Kevin Durant trying to find success by playing defense. It's the assets and people that are around him.
Here's my thing to counteract that, JR. For example, in the game, like, most of all you really saw is like, so the T-Wolves constantly ran on them was a pick and roll. How many times did those players get washed in the pick and roll maneuvers? It was honestly disgusting. And for that matter, your biggest fan, Anthony Edwards, literally posterized you. At some point, it is the playoffs.
Okay. Chris, there's more, and thank you for calling from Birmingham. We could disagree forever, but there's more than Kevin Durant on the team. If anything, he was the best player on the team. The most consistent player on the team. He's the oldest player on the team. And the team is five guys on the floor plus another eight on the bench, and they all suck. And that has nothing to do with Mr. Durant. If you want to complain about Kevin Durant and his attitude and being a leader and being a front runner and not speaking up or just wanting to fit in, you are certainly well within your right to do so, and I wouldn't disagree on any of that. But it really boils down to brass tacks. When you boil things down and you look at the failure of the Phoenix Suns, it's not because the Minnesota Timberwolves ran into a pick and roll. Kevin Durant got dunked on. And you want to know what he was doing? He came over to help on defense. Like, what are we talking about? And so that's a small portion of why they sucked. They sucked because they have no depth, one. They suck, two, because they have no structure. They suck because Bradley Beal and Booker are not facilitators. They don't know what they're doing. That's it. But throw Durant out the window. The whole organization and how the squad is put together is flawed. It's like a kid who runs into the store and says, hey, I got the money to spend. Let me just get the flashiest things. They don't all fit together. It doesn't work. 855-212-4227. Chris is here from Baltimore. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, JR, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. You got to go ahead.
It's a pleasure talking to you again and missed you, but you done took my glory away because I was ready to talk about the Phoenix Sun. But Kevin Durant didn't do anything wrong. He played his butt off. Not only did he do that, like you said, he was the best scorer consistently. He played defense. But the main part that was wrong with that team, you had the wrong coach from start. That's not a coach. That's, he don't know anything about coaching. And not only that, the rest of the team doesn't play defense. And they played better when they picked up Bowl in the middle of the season to have somebody in the middle. And they did not have a true guard that pick up Thompson, and he never got in the game. They needed to find a guard throughout the season, and that was one of the main problems. Beal should have been a sixth man on the bench.
Well, that's
That's
debatable, but I'm glad you brought up some of the other ancillary pieces. You think about defense, to look at Kevin Durant is faulty because Nurkic, he does not defend a lamppost, and he can't. And then you think about the fact that this is a team, and thank you so much, Chris, for calling from Baltimore. You brought up some excellent points. They didn't have a point guard. That's number one. And then Nurkic, the last line of defense, what is he defending? The answer is nothing. Nothing. The team is flawed. In an ideal world, yeah, Bradley Beal would be coming off of the bench, but then they still need somebody who could have gone out there and initiate the offense. And Bradley Beal, paying this man $50, $55, $60 million a year to come off the bench? And he got a no-trade clause? How is that going to go over? I mean, the team would actually have to be good to push this man onto the bench. And at the same time, who the hell wants to pay a guy almost $60 million to come off the bench? That's probably not even a road or a path worth going down. But if we strip things down, yeah, he should be coming off the bench. This is tough. And then Vogel, yeah, Vogel's known more so as a defensive coach. I'm not going to say he doesn't have success. He had his stretch back with the Indiana Pacers. He won a championship with the Lakers. I know it was in the bubble. Frank Vogel isn't even the one to blame. It's the owner. Like, I don't know how much more you wanted Frank Vogel to get out of this besides saying, hey, Kevin Durant, let's do whatever the hell you want to do. Kevin Durant allegedly felt he was utilized in the corner too much. Come on. This team didn't have depth. Nothing. Like, 3-on-5, let's go. Didn't work. It's the JR Sport Re-Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm going to tell you about who's retiring on the other side of the break. We'll talk more basketball and NFL and it all. Here on the Infinity Sports Network, the JR Sport Reef Show.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app. We'll be right back.